Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Acharya, A.C., Bhaktivedanta, Swami Shri Prabhupada, Ki.
Jai.
Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parita, Chukitarya, Oshkutara, Sattva, Sri, Sumad, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Sarasvati, Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada, Ki.
Jai.
Ananta Kodi, Vaishnava, Vindhi, Ki.
Jai.
Nam Chaya, Shri Hari Vash, Thakur, Ki.
Jai.
Prem Sukho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari Gaur, Bhaktarinda Ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gogopinash, Namakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhana Ki. Shri Vrindavandama Ki. Maturadama Ki. Navadvip Mayapadama Ki. Ganga Jamunamaya Ki. Bhakti Devi Ki. Tosi Maharani Ki. Iskan Pounder Chaya Shri Prabhupada Ki. Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki, Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, the Lordship Shri Shri Radhasham Sundar Ki, Vrindavanishwari Shri Mati Radharani Ki, Golok Prem Dan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki,
Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki.
Om Agyantimanandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jenatas Maya Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dudanti Swapanam Kutam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare. So today, on this auspicious day, of the first day of Kartik, which is considered a very, very auspicious time, the next 30 days are a very auspicious time here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. That is why so many pilgrims have come from different parts of India, and different pilgrims have come by chance or good fortune. From other parts of the world, somehow or other, due to our desire or due to our past pious activities, Agyata Supriti, we all find ourselves in this holy abode of Vrindavan, the most auspicious time of the year, Kartik. It just so happens that, how do we say your name again?
Minet.
This is her 20th. 19th. This is her last year as a teenager. This is her birthday. And we've organized this little celebration, although many of us have just recently met, and some of us have met again after many years, and some of us are always together. The transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness is that it brings us together once again as a spiritual family. Ultimately, we're all part of the same family because the original Father is God. There's different names for God in different languages, but most civilized people, at least, they accept the existence of God. And if we were able to trace back the history, each of our history, we would see that really we're not American, or we're not New Zealander, or Spanish, or South African, or whatever. Originally, we all come from the same source. We all come from the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, Aham Sabhasya Prabhavo Matasarvam Pabartate, that I am the source of everything that is material and everything that is spiritual. Sometimes people like to trace back their family lineage, their ancestors. Once my mother told me that one of my great-great-grandfathers was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence in America. One of the signers of the American Constitution. So people are fascinated by finding out what is their family history, how far back does it go. But actually, if you were able, although it's not really possible, if you were able to trace the history of the living entity all the way back, where would you end up? With Krishna, the Supreme Lord. He's the original Father of every living entity. So somehow or other we left that transcendental abode. We were there with God in the spiritual world, and because we have a small amount of independence, because love means that you have choice. If I say to you, you must love me, that's not love. Love means I can love or I cannot love. So in the spiritual world, we're full of love. Our original nature is to just be brimming with love for God, for Krishna. In his original form, as amazing as it may sound, a small cowherd boy in Vrindavan, by his mystic power, he creates that scenario that God is not an old man with a long beard and arthritis holding up the planets. Although he's the oldest person, by his mystic power, by his spiritual potencies, he remains Nayovanamcha, he remains ever youthful. You'll never see a picture of God in Indian art as an old man, but you'll see him. Who can calculate how old God is? With our brains, we can't figure these things out, but the sages tell us that he's ever youthful. And he appears as, in this land of Vrindavan as a transcendental cowherd boy. So he created us for his pleasure, just like a father expands his family for enjoyment. Here's a beautiful young girl, Amba, and I'm sure that her mother didn't conceive her to have problems. But we conceive children, we have children to expand our family life, to enjoy. The more, the merrier. Same principle is there with God, that he created the living entities for the purpose of transcendental abode, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. We took birth in this material world to try to imitate God, which is not eternal, it's temporary. It's not full of knowledge, there's so much ignorance here. And it's not full of bliss, there's a little happiness here. We're not naive, there's some sunny days and blue skies and butterflies, smiling babies, beautiful forests. There's some nice things here, but after all, it is the kingdom of illusion. It's the world of duality. There's black and white. There's day and night, there's up and down, there's east and west. It's a world of duality. There's happiness and there's distress. You can't be perfectly happy here. Therefore, really to celebrate our birthday, with all due respect to you, to celebrate our birthday is a little bit of an illusion. One of our great masters, Narottam Das Thakur, he said, here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. It's a very appropriate word because we know in recent history, the world, the word holocaust, it brings to mind very horrendous pictures of suffering. World War II, and the poor Jewish people, what they had to go through, the holocaust. Anyone who's in the middle of a holocaust thinking, oh, what a nice place this is. What can we do to have fun today? Crazy. So here we are in the middle of a holocaust. How can you say it's a holocaust? It's a beautiful weather today, birds are chirping, and of course this is Vrindavan. We have to remember the four realities of material existence, which Lord Buddha very nicely pointed out to us some thousands of years ago. He was actually born as a prince. Buddha, most people think of Buddha as a very renounced ascetic. And he was, for a particular purpose. But he wasn't born an ascetic. Buddha was born in a family of a great Raj, a great king. Actually, Buddha's father owned at least half of India. He was ruling over half of India. And he's, just like a father has so much affection for the children, I'm sure that the matter of mother and father are probably, you know, wondering what's happening on her birthday today. Actually, we have one surprise for her that we're going to let her call her mom and dad today in South Africa as one of our presents to her. Because we have a free phone line in a couple hours, so she can call home, talk to mom and dad. But the living entity is suffering in this material world in so many ways. So Buddha's father, before his son was born, he was thinking, I don't want him to see any miseries in this world. Not my son. I'm the king. So why should my son see any miseries? So what he did is anything that showed any type of suffering or misery or whatever, he kicked it out of the kingdom. This is historic fact. You can read the history books. There was even a movie about this, Buddha. And he built a huge wall around the kingdom. I heard it was something like 25 feet high. A huge wall. And his son, the queen, gave birth to this beautiful little baby boy. He was so beautiful, the Buddha. Of course, because he's an incarnation of God, he had all the markings and all the distinguishing qualifications of an incarnation. Nowadays, there's so many quote-unquote incarnations of God. People want the cheap adoration of being an incarnation of God. It's not such a cheap thing. The incarnations of God are actually listed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so nobody can cheat like that. So Buddha appeared, little prince appeared, and he grew up in this never-never land, this wonderful land of so-called love and bliss, where he never saw anything bad. He was a very cheerful little boy, good-natured little boy, well-educated, all the good qualities of a prince, a former future king. But it was a little bit of an illusion, because that's not exactly how life is. Not exactly like Walt Disney presented in his movies. So one day when he was 17, the prince was walking around town with his servant. And he said to his servant, "Let's go outside the wall. Let's go see what's outside the wall." And the servant said, "No, no. Your father has forbidden you to go outside the wall." He's a teenager. "Yeah, Dad, you know. Yeah, Dad." His servant said, "No, he'll have my head if I open that door." So the prince said, "I'm the prince and you're my servant. Open that door, I'll have your head." So the servant's afraid, takes a big key and opens the lock, and she pulls open the door. And the prince steps outside with the servant. "Why didn't my father want me to come here?" He said, "It's just the same as it was inside. It looks pretty much the same to me. People are walking about and talking and shopping. In the distance I can see people farming, tilling the fields with the oxen. And let's take a little walk." The servant said, "No, let's go back inside." "No, no, let's go for a little walk. Let's see what we have to see." So they were walking, and they looked a little bit out of the town, and they came into the paddy fields. And in India, you often see the ladies working in the paddy fields, and you know, this is their work. And India is simple living with high thinking. You know, things aren't so complicated. When ladies give birth, they often give birth under an auspicious tree, like a mango tree or a banyan tree or a pipal tree. They just happened to come across one natural childbirth, and I don't know, but I've been told that it's quite a traumatic experience. Vishnabhamini's had several children, she can tell us. Quite a traumatic experience, both for mother and for baby. Sometimes it's so traumatic that the mother doesn't even survive the birth. Sometimes the child doesn't survive the birth. There's a lot of, you know, welcome to the material world. Right? First impressions are the most important. So you come out of your mother, and you can't breathe. The doctor has to start your lungs working. So usually you come out and gives you a little slap on the backside. Welcome to material existence. This is our birthday, right? Our first birthday. What was our first present? You know, we had a little tiny backside and a big hand. First impressions. But then, you know, we grow up and we have our parents and the school and society to tell us it's all going to be really nice and it's going to be so romantic and so wonderful and so beautiful. You know, when? When's it all going to happen? When's it going to manifest? So Buddha, he saw this. He said, "What? What is that? What is the water coming from the eyes of that woman?" His servant said, "My lord, this is birth. This is the first reality of material life. which everyone has to undergo. No one can avoid. So the Buddha became, he was a very happy-go-lucky type boy, handsome, charismatic, always cheerful, had lots of friends, and for the first time he became a little sober. He said, this is life? It's not what my dad told me. It's not what I've seen in my 17 years. I never saw anything like this. He became a little reflective, and his servant was actually a good friend. And the servant said, yes, my master, that's why there's yogis. And yogis are usually kind of skinny, they're ascetics, they're trying to renounce this world. So the prince, he said, what's an ascetic? What's a yogi? Well, they're thinking differently than you and me, a servant said. They're thinking, atato brahma jinasya. Now that we've come to this human form of life, now it's not time to live like the animals. Now is the time for inquiring. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? What happens to death? What is God? This is the business of the sages, the yogis. The prince, he was like, it's all new to me. Anyway, let's keep walking. So they walked a little further. And sometimes in India, you see leprosy. I was recently in Puri, and there was a leper colony there. So I walked near, close to the leper colony on my way to the beach. Wow, such an experience. Such a disease would exist. It's just, imagine the karma of what a person has to do in a previous life to have to be purified by such a disease. The Buddha, the prince, whoa. What is this? Why? Where are their hands? Where are their fingers? What's going on? And the servant said, my lord, he said, this is the second factor of material existence. This is called disease. Nobody can avoid it. Nowadays, there's so many different types of examples here. And the Buddha became even more contemplative, and he began asking more philosophical questions. He became very, thinking. And they walked a little further, and they saw old man, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great masters. He said, with the arrival of old age, one begins to realize that material life, material happiness is pretty much an impossible thing. And the prince said, why doesn't he stand up? Why is he all bent over like that? How come his hair is all white? Never seen these things inside the kingdom. Why is his hair all white? Why is he all wrinkly? What is he? Is he a human being? And his servant said, Lord, my dear prince, he said, don't think this won't happen to you. Me? But look how handsome I am. Anyone is thinking I'm so beautiful, I'm so educated, I have nice clothes. So I said, my lord, this is material life. And then right in front of their eyes, the old man dropped down dead. And the prince said, wow, why doesn't he get up? I want to talk to him about something. I want to talk to him. Straighten him up. Possibly, he's gone. The soul has left that body and gone to another destination. And the prince said, another destination? Where? He's gone to Delhi? He's gone to Haridwar? So we cannot know, but he's gone to some other destination, some other body. If he had any material desires, he's taken birth again in this world. But if he had no material desires, he's gone to the kingdom of God. To where? The prince said. The kingdom of what? My father's kingdom is the best kingdom. No. There's another kingdom where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. There's a supreme enjoyer, personality of God, who are all his eternal servants, is where we came from. The Buddha looked back on the trail which they've been walking, and he saw the dead man, he saw the old man, he saw the disease, he saw the birth. He said, this is the material life. He said, I want to go there, to the spiritual world. So he took off all his royal clothes, his sword, his shield, his knife, his crown, his jewels. And he picked up the garments of an old sage and he wrapped them around. He went under a tree and he practiced meditation. He began meditating on God. He didn't go back to the kingdom. And they say that he stayed there for 30 years and he became an enlightened soul. And then he himself became a great teacher of spiritual knowledge. So The reason I told this story is not to depress Annette on her birthday. I mean, well, I invited her to our party and we're telling these ghastly stories. But life is meant to be a little philosophical. A little philosophical. Try to analyze things according to scripture, to Shastra, and see, you know, where we're at and where we're going and what's the purpose of life. So really, transcendentalist doesn't really celebrate his or her birthday into the material world. So then why are we having a birthday party today? Well, we can celebrate in the sense that at least we have this human birth. There's so many species of life in this material world. Vedic scriptures say 8,400,000. And out of most of them, they're just in total ignorance. They can't think about spiritual things. They can't come to India, try to find some higher purpose in life, try to go within and find a self, try to find God, understand what is my relationship with God. They can just eat, sleep, mate, and fight, like the dogs here. With all due respect to the dogs, they're also God's children, but they never come to the temple, they never go to see the deity, they never come to hear the scripture, they never chant japa, they never take prasad like we take prasad. They're just busy eating, sleeping, mating. They like to mate. They like to fight. All night long they fight. I can't sleep upstairs. They never go to a church to inquire from a priest about God. They never go to a mosque to inquire about God. They never go to a synagogue. They never go to a temple. All these are like holy places where people can come and find about God according to their nature. Some people feel comfortable in a church, some people feel comfortable in a synagogue, some people feel comfortable in a mosque, some people in a temple. God has provided all these places, spiritual places, so you can come and feel some relief, some shelter from the material of the world. Try to understand God, that cats and animals do that. But we, somehow or other, we have these human forms of life. And with this human form of life, Atato Brahmajanasa, we can achieve the supreme destination. Even in our short life of 80 or 90 years, we can actually achieve liberation by going back home, back to God. So therefore you can say, we have an excuse to have a party today. She has a human body, and she has a human key. We all have human bodies, and we can use them in the way they're meant to be used for self-realization. And what's more is that she has come to Vrindavan. And her friends have come to Vrindavan. So this is like, you could say it's like, and by hearing them speak yesterday I could understand, it's like a spiritual awakening. Something's happened. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. When I was a kid, I used to love to collect caterpillars. And I knew exactly, I had a book that could identify them as an expert. I probably could have gone on and been a PhD in caterpillars and butterflies. My favorite caterpillar was a caterpillar. He was so ugly. He was the ugliest of all. He was blackish and kind of furry, but, you know, the gray furry and, you know, kind of blue, dark blue eyes, and his little antennas came up brown. It was just, he was ugly. There were some pretty nice caterpillars. This is the ugliest one. But by God's arrangement, the ugliest caterpillar became the most beautiful butterfly. It's called a monarch butterfly. You know Krishnamani monarchs? They're orange and yellow, and they have black lining to kind of make it like a painting. And I love these butterflies so much. I used to collect them, and then I'd go out, when they're old enough, I'd go out and we'd have, we called it, you know, the liberation day. I'd open up the cage and all the butterflies would fly. I'd wave goodbye to them. Goodbye. Have a good time. Have a good life. You know. I was just so amazed to see how God had arranged things that this ugly creature could turn into something so beautiful as a butterfly, monarch butterfly. And even today when I see them, it's like a sign of good luck for me. It's an auspicious omen. Something's going to happen to me really auspicious today. So I was thinking yesterday when they were speaking, because Dhanadhar Maharaj was upstairs, Adhidhar Maharaj, and he was asking them questions about their realizations about Vrindavan. And I was saying it took me 10 years before I could come here to appreciate this place. But I was amazed that they had, in their own ways, an appreciation for this place which they'd never heard about until a week ago when they were on the train from Atmarambu. We told them about a holy abode and they came. And I was thinking, this is amazing. This is like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And I was just envisioning how, you know, they've actually changed. They may not see it, but they've actually changed since they've come here. They have some spiritual, some genuine spiritual realization. They have a taste for things which are transcendental, beyond this world. Golok Premdan, Harinam Sankirtan. The chanting, the song we sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, it doesn't come from this world. You can travel this world from length and breadth, up and down, China, Japan, Australia, Antarctic, South. You'll never find the origin of the sound. Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan. This chanting is coming from the spiritual sky, from the spiritual world. It's descending into this world, this beautiful sound vibration. And by hearing that sound vibration, that caterpillar just mystically turns into a butterfly. All the spiritual qualities that are locked up within our hearts for millions of lives, we become beautiful again. We become beautiful servants of God by chanting God's name. So this is like a spiritual, this is for them, this is like a spiritual awakening. So it's like coming out of darkness into light. It's like coming out of ignorance into knowledge. It's like coming out of the material world, which is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. It's like coming into the spiritual world, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So you could say, it's like coming out of the womb into the world. It's like being born. It's like second birth. Janame, janame savit, pita matapaya. In this world, everyone has mother and father, but if one can come in contact with a bona fide spiritual process and become spiritually enlightened, that is one's second birth. So how has this happened? They weren't expecting it. They didn't come to India. They came to India like we all came to India the first time, kind of like, yeah, far out, we'll go to India and see some temples and kind of meet some people. But we weren't really expecting that we'd like become enlightened. So how has it happened? Well, nothing happens by chance. Not a blade of grass moves without the mercy of God. Even material things don't happen. Scientists, they try to say everything's happening by mechanistic chance, you know. But not a blade of grass moves without the will of God. What to speak if one comes to the spiritual path, path of enlightenment? What happened? That they were able to meet such a nice devotee as Atmarambhu, who's like a spiritual guide for them at this stage of their lives. What happened? Well, Brahmanda Brahmati Kaum Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Since we left the spiritual world, you can't even trace how far back. Brahmanda Brahmati Kaum, we've been traveling through different universes, different species of life, different bodies, reincarnation, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. You know, we've been here, there, everywhere, in every species. We've done it. Been there, done that. To take a material phrase and dovetail it in a spiritual talk. We've been everywhere and done everything. What happened? Somehow, whether by good fortune, we come in contact with devotees of Krishna and devotees of the Lord who, through a little association, they kind of awaken our third eye. Not that we really have a third eye, but they awaken our spiritual interest and begin us on the path of transcendence. So I thought, this is actually a birthday. It's like a second birth. And, you know, wherever they go, whatever path they eventually take up, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Krishna consciousness, whatever path they eventually follow, this will be a great boost, a great help for them on that path. And it'll be kind of like really a spiritual awakening. So it's like a birthday. So we're not so much celebrating the material birthday, we're taking advantage of that to have a party, have a festival. Because in the spiritual world, all singing is dancing, all talking is singing, all walking is dancing, And there's a festival every day. That's the spiritual world. Like Vrindavan, it's like a special, it's like a festival every day. Every day you've been here, it's been like a festival. Well, this is like a festival. So we're celebrating her birthday as a human being. We're celebrating their entrance into Vrindavan, the spiritual world, kind of like a spiritual awakening, which I'm sure when they leave tomorrow, they'll carry within their hearts. They'll see these, somehow or other, the most special days of their lives. Some of the most special days of their lives they'll never forget. I know, I guarantee you'll never forget. And you'll always have Vrindavan in your heart. And even though you can't be in Vrindavan, because we also have to leave Vrindavan in several months, you can keep Vrindavan in your heart by remembering all the holy places that you've gone to, all the saintly people that you've met. And most important, you can keep Vrindavan in your heart, the spirit of Krishna consciousness. You can keep this festive spirit, this loving spirit, this spiritual taste in your hearts by taking the most precious gift of Vrindavan. And I think that it's the most special gift that we can all give you today on all of your spiritual birthdays. What is that most special gift? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And when you're gone, and we'll feel separation from you, of course. When you're gone, you're on the train to somewhere. I know those Indian trains are like. And it's hot, and you're hungry, and you're tired, and you're working with your bag, trying to find some place to stay, and you're meeting people, but it's not exactly. Then you can bring about that same mood. You just take out those kartals, you sing, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And wherever you are, whatever train station you're in, whatever hotel you're in, when you're back in Europe or back home, wherever you are, that whole special mood that you experience here in Vrindavan, it'll just be manifest again, like mystically or magically. This is my experience. Everyone's experience. You just chant that transcendental sound, and because Krishna is not different than his name, that means his devotees are there, his glories are there, his abode is there, and everything is manifest. The whole spiritual world is manifest when we chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare.
So this is Vrindavan's gift to all of you, is the Hare Krishna mantra. You take that into your hearts, and wherever you go, you can create the Vrindavan mood. And that, of course, the more you chant Hare Krishna, the more you'll hanker for Krishna, the more you'll hanker for Krishna's devotees, the more you'll hanker for prasadam, the more you'll hanker to come back here. And I'm sure it'll just be like a 360-degree turn. That you'll go, and someday, maybe in weeks, maybe in months, maybe in years, maybe in lifetimes, I hope it's not lifetimes, but that chanting will bring you back to your original home, Vrindavan, to your spiritual family. Krishna consciousness will all be waiting for you. So that's our gift to all three of you today. But we have other gifts as well. Different gifts that you can take with you, Tari, so that you won't forget us and you'll always remember us. Let's bring this table out here. These are the gifts of the birthday girl. Drum roll. Put it right there. Okay. Take it off very carefully, Kishori. Take that off carefully. Wow, what a birthday!
Where's
El Gore?
Where's
El Gore? Ethan. So we thought, I love parties and festivals. That's why I joined this This is Minette. This is her. So she's number one today because she's in the middle here. And then we have. Lisa. We thought that because it's like your spiritual birthdays, you could dress as everybody. Okay? So the first thing we're going to do is Divya, what's called Divya Gyan, or the transcendental knowledge part. Drum roll. This is for the long train ride. It's the story of Prabhupada's life. Things the girls put on their forehead here. Those are bindis to make it all complete, right? Those are bindis. Yeah, no bindis. This is okay. All right. I kind of wonder what that is. We'll do this as well.
Your friends are really like this one.
Pure silver. This is all part of the training for going back to the spiritual world. This is how they dress. No echo bells, John, but something nice.
What is it? Is it the packaging?
Yeah. him. I have my my deity upstairs. That's the Sringadev. He protects the devotees wherever you go. So he'll protect you until you get back to Vrindavan. Okay, so these two things go together.
Sorry. Ah! You said you
wanted to. You know how to put it on now, right? Put water in your hands, rub that in there, makes a paste. If you need a mirror, right? Put it on. So see what's in that other person's there.
It's not a mirror,
is it? Not a mirror, it's a little picture. Okay. And here's your picture and your tilak.
Exactly.
Now we have one request, right? Because actually in Vedic culture, when it's someone's birthday, they do sacrifices, right? They do like good deeds for others. So your good deed today is we wanted to go put on this beautiful saris with the ankle belt and the choli and all that kind of stuff the girls do. And we'll send Kamala. Kamala will help you put the sari on, right? And the kirtan. You can put the kirtan here. The ladies can go in the next room, right? She's real good because we have a festival in Poland, festival in India, and we have 1,000 saris on display. And the guests come and they put them on as part of the festival. They have like 500-600 ladies walking around. You know, guests who know nothing about India. They put these beautiful saris and walk around for the evening.
So how do you get them to give them back at the end?
Well,
we make them, well, they have to leave their
identity
cards. Oh, their clothing.
Sorry, I got identity cards. So Kamala, can you help them put their saris on? Okay. So this is your birthday where you have to look really nice on your birthday, right? Get all dressed up, right? So go put the saris on, and we'll wait, and then we'll have the magic show when they come back in their saris.
We're going to have the magic show while you're putting your saris on.
No. And the bindis, put the bindis on and everything. Okay. Bravo. You can go in there into So we'll wait here. In great anticipation for the magic show.
Oh,